I speak to you in the name of the one who loves us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. It's a great delight and honor to be here. I was really excited when Claire invited me to come here, and we were working out how we were going to talk about the call for a new rector and what that might look like, and this worked out really, really well. I know a little bit about St. Tim's. I have been here over the years for many occasions and various things along. My father-in-law lives just down the street, and so I know this neighborhood and area really well, and delighted to walk with you during this time as you call a new rector. I myself am very new in my position as Bishop of Edmonton. I've only been here about 5 months. So still very much learning the ropes and what all of that looks like. And some people do have questions about, well, what does that mean and what does it look like? And so I did want to just get to know you a little bit and invite you to get to know me a little bit after the service in terms if you did have any questions or thoughts. And I, of course, will reflect and ask you questions as well. And so hopefully we'll get to know each other in this very strange time at the, I won't say the end of COVID, but in this transition time in COVID in which it becomes something different, hopefully. But this morning, that's not what I'm going to reflect about in my sermon. I actually want to reflect about two events that are going on in our lives right now. One is the events that we are watching on television and reading about the newspaper, this attack on Ukraine, the war. And the second is this season of Lent that the Christian church is entering into. And I'm hoping we can put these two together, that what can the season of Lent give us wisdom in terms of understanding perhaps these bigger global events, but also our lives here and now in this place and time here in Edmonton. Maybe a raise of hands. Are any of you watching the events happening in Ukraine? Few people, everybody, maybe, almost. It's been awful to watch, of course. It is a completely unlawful attack of Russia on Ukraine. We see it becoming more and more brutal as Vladimir Putin is becoming more and more frustrated with the progress, and I do fear for what it's going to look like moving forward. And of course, we know this isn't something that just happened. In 2014, of course, we know the story of how Russia took the entire southern peninsula in the Ukraine, the Crimea, and then there was in the eastern provinces of Ukraine, separatist movements that arose. There was fighting between them and the Ukraine military. A standoff happened, and then in the March of last year, 2021, Putin started moving munitions and military units to the Ukrainian border, and over the year, and many events happened surrounded. And of course, we know February 22nd of this year, Putin recognized those eastern provinces as Russian and entered in. And this has been an all-out conflict, or it looks to be coming an all-out conflict. I remember an interview with a software engineer. They were interviewing him, and he said, of course, I don't know anything about war. I don't have any particular interest in going to war, but this is my home, and so I'm going to defend it. Now, when events like this happen, we often ask, well, what can we do? And people have asked me that. And of course, there are some things that we can do. The first thing, of course, that as Christians we do is we turn to God. We turn to prayer. We pray for peace. We pray for the softening of hard hearts. And I would say, don't underestimate this. People around the world uniting in prayer for Ukraine, but of course a reminder to us that events like this are happening all around the globe, in Eritrea, in Afghanistan, in Myanmar. I could keep going. We continually pray and work for peace in our world. People, of course, give money for the relief of the suffering people of Ukraine, and many people have done that. We stand in solidarity. We reach out to our local communities. I have a colleague of mine who works in ecumenical relations who drafted for me some beautiful letters to the Ukrainian Orthodox Bishop, the Ukrainian Catholic Bishop, and sent those letters out, a sign of our prayer and our desire to work with them, and they replied with heartfelt gratitude for our prayer and support. And of course, our diocese supports refugees, and so we're looking at the question of, are there refugees that we can support over the next months here in Edmonton in our communities? All these things we're talking about. But on the whole, here at St. Tim's, we are 7,975.11 kilometers away from Kyiv. That is a long way away. And of course, it keeps us doing from a lot of particular things. But there's still much we can do, at least I'll say indirectly. And to talk about that, I want to give a little bit of context by turning to our Christian tradition of Lent. Because Lent is a special time in the Christian calendar. And there's so much wisdom for helping us to understand how to live in this time and this place where we are. As you know, this is a season that lasts for 40 days, excluding Sundays. And its purpose is to help all of us to prepare spiritually in our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies for Holy Week, where we will walk liturgically with Jesus Christ as he goes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as he goes towards being betrayed, the Final Supper, the crucifixion, and ultimately the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And we never want to just let that pass without being fully attentive to the mystery of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Lent is a time to prepare, a time of sacrifice and denial. And of course, we know in the past this has been way overdone. There has been too much, perhaps, an emphasis on the value of suffering in and of itself. So people have starved themselves, they flagellated themselves, they wore hair shirts, they hurt themselves in various ways, as if there were a value in just suffering per se. But that's not what Jesus was doing in the desert in those 40 days and 40 nights that Deacon Sally was just reading about. He was doing something different. He was preparing himself for the ministry that he was about to do, that he had been called to do. Jesus had been called and is called to bring grace and light into a hurting world, to proclaim God's love for all of humanity, and to give this amazing invitation for a brand new way of life that he called the kingdom of God. But here is the thing about all ministry and all leadership. It has ultimately got to be done for the right reason. Because if it's done for the wrong reason, it can rot and cease to be about grace and mercy and become about something else. And these three temptations that our Lord suffers in the desert, these are three classic temptations that everyone faces in ministry and leadership. The first, of course, is the temptation of ego. I'm not going to rely on God. I'm not going to be in a community. I'm going to do this all on my own. You may know the old phrase, if you want something done right, do it yourself. Now, there's some truth to that. Some things it's better, perhaps, just to do. But as a way of life, it's poisonous. It is a terrible trap that leads us into seeing ourselves as perhaps the smartest person in the room, or the person with all the skills, and everybody needs to come to us. And it leads us to a position of arrogance, which leads to loneliness and bitterness and distrust. The second temptation that Jesus faces, of course, is that having power and control over everything. The devil takes Jesus onto the pinnacle and says, it's all mine. Just worship me and I will give it to you. Well, the problem with power, of course, is we know that becomes a thirst that is unquenchable. There's always the desire for more. And of course, the final temptation is to do things for the recognition, for the fame and the glory, to have people say, wow, look at how wonderful he is. I understand, or she, that is a real rush to have people fawn all over you. But Jesus Christ knew that the kingdom of God was about none of those things. There is no place in the kingdom of God for ego, power trips, or worldly glory. It is about faith and love and community and humility and collegiality and kindness and justice. Ultimately, love. And we all have these temptations. Even Jesus Christ had to be careful, had to watch his motives. What am I doing this for? And Lent is this special time that we set aside to look within. And it's not about being good. It's about being God's, belonging to God. Because the thing is, even being good can be an ego trip. Look at all the great things I do for the poor. Look at all the amazing kindnesses I give. No, Lent is about putting God at the center. And when God is at the center, all those other idols get moved off to the side. And they can be good things, just in the wrong place. If God is at the center, everything else has its perspective. Because the point of Lent is to grow closer to God. And to grow closer to God puts all of those temptations of ego, power, fame, and many others, and helps us to become followers of Jesus. That's the call, that's the goal, to be light in the world, following the way of Jesus. So what does this have to do with Ukraine? Well, I believe Lent invites us to understand that while there is only so much we can do, and we should do what we need to do for all the places in the world that know suffering and violence and poverty and hunger and climate change, we are called to act, yes. But we're also called to understand that we are called to live here in such a way that we think that Jesus thinks we should be living all over the world. We can start here with ourselves, with this community, in this place, because that's our calling. That's where we live. Lent invites us to commit ourselves again to the love doctrine. Well, what is the love doctrine? Well, it is the simple doctrine that we are called to love every person we encounter as Jesus loves them, and to see them through the eyes of God. We have the two great commandments. I'm sure you know them. Love God, love your neighbors. All the laws are meant to help us to live more deeply into that truth. To love people when they are family and neighbors and we love one another, but also to love people when they are our enemies. And to do that is, of course, the hardest thing, one of the hardest things that we are called to do. In fact, we can't just do it. We don't have it within ourselves to do it. It's very unnatural to love our enemies. We have to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living within us. We have to practice the way of Christ, but with Christ, we know that the world can be changed. Let me mention just two ways that Lent might help us to walk this path. Number one, Lent helps us to get a bigger perspective on things. Back in the old days of the former Soviet Union, you know, there were dissidents who lived in camps that were called the gulags, and perhaps the most famous of these dissidents in the old Soviet Union was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Some of you may know him. He's an Orthodox Christian who was very prophetic. And in the gulags, he was really struggling with his anger and fury at how his life had been shut down. And he realized how easy it was to see the Soviet guards and government as demonic, and to see his cause as righteous and angelic, and to make this strict distinction. But as he looked within, he made an interesting discovery. Now, it's not a discovery that he himself made alone. This is, of course, something that Christians have taught for centuries. But he came with the famous quote that you might have heard, that the line between good and evil ultimately does not run between nations. But the line between good and evil ultimately runs down the middle of every single human heart. What he meant by that was that most of us, if we have warm houses, if we have 3 square meals a day, and our families have treated us pretty well in the past, we can be good. It's easier to be good. But if you take away all those things and you find yourself in terribly abusive situations, it actually becomes much harder. And in the right circumstances, each and every one of us could be very different. And I think this insight gets at what Jesus means about not judging. Not that we don't work against injustice. We are always called to work against injustice. But to not to be so quick to delegate who is evil and who is good, but to recognize that all of us are children of God and all of us are in a deep spiritual struggle. I'm sure you all know the old quote, every person you meet is involved in a spiritual struggle, and you probably don't know it. And so our call as Christians is to walk one another with one another and to support within what and to support one another. This is true in the Ukraine, this is true in Edmonton, Alberta. We pray for everyone. The second part of Lent that's helpful is this old tradition of giving alms. Now, unfortunately, giving alms has now come to mean giving money to charity. And don't misunderstand me, it is a good thing to give money to charity. I encourage you to support your church, by the way. But don't mishear me on this. But the concept is much richer. It is about searching out and finding the poor and suffering and struggling within our midst and reaching out to help. It is about relationship, ultimately. It's about the very practical healing of the world. I'm sure you know the story of the little boy and the starfish on the beach. Bishop Jane used to tell this story many times. Did she tell it here? Does anybody remember? Yes? No? No? Okay. So the story goes like this. It's just a parable, if you will. A little boy is on the beach, and all these starfish have washed up on the shore, and they're about to die. They're drying out. And there is a little boy running down, throwing as many starfish as he can back into the sea. And somebody comes by and says, why are you doing this? It's impossible to get all of these starfish. It doesn't make a difference. There's so much suffering. And the little boy picks up one starfish and said, well, it matters to this one. And throws it into the sea. That's what almsgiving is ultimately about. What can we do to help someone somewhere? I end with this. I implore all of us to take this time of Lent as a gift, to take it seriously, to look within, to give up something that has a hold on us, to take additional time in prayer, to find a concrete way to help the world, to follow Jesus. Because this is what God calls us here at St. Timothy's to be. Agents of grace, agents of reconciliation, followers of Jesus Christ. Amen.